Last week we looked at the beginning of this record of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. God had said, their time has come. Their wickedness is too great. They've had many opportunities. They haven't repented. Now is the time. And Abraham had pleaded with him, will you spare them if there's 10 righteous people there? You'll spare them for the sake of those who live there, who are righteous. You won't destroy the righteous and the wicked together. And God said, yes, if there's 10 there. But there wasn't 10 there. There was Lot, and there were some in his household, but it didn't reach 10. So God decided to destroy the city. He sent these two angels, and we saw the things that happened when the angels were there, and the awful and disgusting things which they found in the city. And we looked at some of what the Bible says about that subject. I'm being a bit delicate for children listening, but you remember the things that we looked at last week. And now we continue to read about the destruction of Sodom and the other towns. You remember the angels had judged the men who came round the door. They'd made them to be blind so that they could not find the door, although they kept trying through the night. But they couldn't find it. And verse 12, and then the two angels said to Lot, is there anyone else here? Is there anyone who fears the word of God? Anyone who will listen when you tell them to flee? Maybe family, sons, in-law, daughters-in-law, sons, go and tell them and warn them, because it's time to flee. And so Lot, well, it seems he had some sons-in-law, some who had married his daughters, or maybe were promised to marry his daughters. It's not quite certain if he already had married daughters, or if it's the ones who are in his household that they are promised to. And he goes to them and he tells them. You see his words in verse 14. It says, hurry, get out of this place. The Lord, Jehovah, is going to destroy the city. And Lot was a man who worshipped Jehovah, the God who'd shown himself to Abraham, the God who made the heaven and the earth in the beginning, the God who rules over all things. And he goes to tell them that now the end of the city has come. But what do those sons-in-law think? How do they respond? They think he's joking. Verse 14, his sons-in-law thought that he was joking. They didn't take him seriously. They'd known this man Lot. They'd known him well. They were marrying into his family. They surely knew that he worshipped Jehovah, yet they didn't take him seriously. You see the result of Lot's compromises. As Lot had been living in Sodom, and though he himself, he knew the things done there were wicked, yet it seems that until now he hadn't clearly rebuked the people of the town. Though his own life, he'd followed the ways of God, yet he'd kept silent about the things he'd seen there, and he'd not made serious efforts to convert the people there. He'd not warned them seriously before about the results of their wickedness. And now when he comes and says, it's going to be destroyed any moment now, today, this morning, the end has come, they think, who is this man? He's surely not serious, surely he's joking with us. That's the effect of his weak witness over the years. It's been many years, it seems, he'd been living in Sodom. Many years since he separated from Abraham. Maybe about 19. Of all those years, he'd not lived and not preached to them so that they now took him seriously. Then even Lot and his family have to be hurried along. Verse 15, the angel said, hurry! Take your wife, get out. The city's about to be swept away. Verse 16, what does Lot do? He still hesitates. he himself is not taking the word of the angels as seriously as he should. The head of this part slouching away from Sodom, to slouch. You go slowly, slowly, like you have all the time in the world. Lot himself, living in Sodom, seems he himself is not taking the word of the Lord as seriously as he should be doing. And the angels have to pull them. Verse 16. The men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife, his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city. They're saved, but only through fire. The fire and brimstone is about to fall from heaven. The time has almost come. Lot and his wife only just escape in time. But then the angel says, go to the mountains, because they're going to destroy all the cities in the plain. And but what does Lot say? Verse 18. He says, no, no, my lords. You spared my life, you've been very kind, but I can't go to the mountains, I'll die. Literally, it says, my soul will die, my soul will perish. It seems he fears it'll be too hard for him to live outside one of the towns. He's become so used to living in those towns. He says, oh, there's just this one here. It used to be called Bela, this town. There's just this one here, it's just small. Surely you can spare this small one. Don't destroy this small one. Let me go there and I'll be able to survive. Oh, where is Lot's faith? Does he not know the Lord can keep him even in the mountains? The Lord can look after him anywhere. Does he not know that God is wanting to destroy these towns because they're wicked? Does he not know it's dangerous to carry on living amongst the wicked like he has done before? You see how Lot's compromise over the years has weakened his faith. If you're like that, if you're a secret Christian, then your faith will be weak. You'll get into many problems. You'll get into many troubles. You'll have an effect on nobody. There'll be no fruit from your life. And you yourself will get into these situations like Lot. And the angels said to him, it's okay. We'll spare this one too. It became known that town as Zoar, because that means a little one. But beware of compromise. Beware of keeping your light hidden from people. It won't do any good for you. It won't do any good for the work of the Lord. Beware of loving the things of this present world. Because that's what Lot did, didn't he? He loved the comfort. He loved the business and the trade he could do in Sodom. He didn't offend them by speaking against them because of how it was making him to live a comfortable life. He just wanted to get along. He didn't want to be disagreeing with people. But it brought him nothing but trouble. Then as we look at verse 23 up to 29, we see Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Fire and brimstone came down from the skies. Burning coals, destruction. It seems it came down like a storm somehow, because it says that the whole town was destroyed, all the people who lived in there, all the fields round about were burnt up by this fire which fell from heaven. We read before that there were pits of tar that were in that area. Maybe God caused them to throw up into the skies and then to rain down again. We're not told exactly how he did it, but they were burnt up in the anger of God. Jude in the New Testament says that Sodom and Gomorrah and the towns near them, who also took part in the immorality and went after unnatural desires, that they are for us an example as they underwent the punishment of eternal fire. God gave a warning for all those who would live in an ungodly way. God has not since then that we know of sent down fire from heaven, but he did it once as a warning of what he will do in the judgment of the ungodly. Now, there was a time when he sent fire down in the time of Elijah, but a whole city and a whole territory burnt up. This is the only time we know of. He sent down his judgment as a warning to all who would live ungodly lives, of the fierceness of his anger, of his holiness, of his opposition to sin, of his determination to judge it when the time is right. Yet people go on living their lives. Jesus said it would be the same way when Jerusalem was destroyed. And it was. The people are just living their lives. They're eating, they're drinking. They're giving their daughters to be married. They're taking in daughters to marry their sons. They're carrying on as if life will just go on forever. There's nothing to worry about. But God has set a day to judge the world. Lot's wife, verse 26, she looked back. What it's telling us is she looked back because she was sorry to be leaving Sodom. She was sorry to lose the life of pleasure she'd had there, even amongst the ungodly people who lived there. She was sorry, really, that God was judging it. She's someone who had her foot in two camps. One foot with the people of the Lord, one foot in with the people of the world. And God then judged her too. Verse 26. She became a pillar of salt. Maybe this burning salt that came down from heaven. One came down upon her as she delayed. She delayed to hurry away from the city and escape God's judgment. Those who try to live with one foot in the church and one foot in the world, they'll be like Lot's wife. The judgment which God is sending on the world will fall upon them too. We have to live decidedly, decisively. We have to decide that we are with the people of God, that we are not with the wickedness of this present age, that we will separate ourselves from it and not be half and half, that with wickedness and sin and the love of pleasure and the service of our own desires, those things we are finished with. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. One of the shortest verses of the Bible. Remember Lot's wife, he said. Then he said, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. Abraham went out to sea. Verse 27, 28, 29. He went out as he got up in the morning to look. No doubt he heard it. No doubt he saw the light on the horizon and the fire falling and the darkness and the smoke and the burning. He went out to look. He saw, and there wasn't 10 righteous people in Sodom. And he saw that God is righteous. He saw the destruction of the wicked. No doubt he had both grief. He was sorry to see his fellow human beings suffering. So to see those made in the image of God who had come so low and now God had had to destroy them. Yet surely also he rejoiced that God is a God who is righteous and who judges the wicked and will cleanse the whole earth one day of wickedness. And he looked and he learnt. And he saw the way that Lot had lived, compromising, had not managed to even gather 10 righteous people in that town. He looked and he learned. And he remembered that he should live a life of faith and not of compromise. Otherwise he too would have no effect on the people round him. We should look and we should learn, as we see in the scriptures, the way that Lot lived. And what it resulted in, we should look and we should learn from it. Verses 30 up to 38 tell us about the children of Lot. Yet he settled in that small town of Zoar, one that God was going to destroy. But then what happened? Verse 30, He leaves Zoar again and settles in the mountains. Why? He was afraid to stay in Zoar. It's miserable to be a compromiser. At first he's afraid to go to the mountains because he says, how can I survive there? How will I survive if I'm not in the town? So let me stay in the town. But then when he's in the town, he sees again how wicked it was. His own wife had been struck by the judgment and had gone. And now he fears again the judgment of God. And he says, I've got to get out of this town. Let me get to the mountain. Seems he had some sense at last. He says, let me get away from these wicked people because God will destroy them as well. So he goes now to the mountain. But see how he changes from one thing to the other. Being better to have obeyed God the first time. Now as we read what happened between Lot and his daughters, remember where we are in the life of Abraham. Abraham has been waiting for a child for 25 years. God has given him a promise. And now God has said, one more year. And it'll happen. One more year. All that time he's been waiting. Now Lot's wife is gone and there's no son to carry on the name of the family. But Lot's daughters, what had they learnt in Sodom? They hadn't learnt the ways of faith. They didn't say, well, let's pray that God will show us a way. We've seen the mighty power of God as he's destroyed those towns. Let's seek him and let's wait for him to provide something for us. Provide a way for us to continue our family. No, they just make their own plan and go their own way. You see, even Lot's daughters had not learnt godliness and a life of faith. Terrible, again, to be a compromiser, to have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. They don't seem to have had faith in God's promise of any kind, for anything we can see here. And they make a depraved plan to continue the family name and the family line. And what the text says is Lot knew nothing of it. They gave him so much drink that he knew of nothing that was happening to him. Well, he's not blameless, is he? Does he not know what happens if you take too much drink? In the book of Proverbs, it says, don't join with those who drink too much. Otherwise, your eyes will start to see strange things. There'll be strange visions in front of you, and you'll say, how did I get here? How did I end up in this place? And then his daughters carry out this plan. And we don't hear again of Lot in the Bible. He just disappears from the scene. That is, we don't hear of his history or anything more that he did after this. He's no longer part of God's plans. And yet we hear of the names of his children. One is called Moab. And that name means from the father, Moab, from the father. And the other one is called Ben-Ammi. Ben means a son. Ammi, of my people, son of my people. And those became the nations of the Moabites and the Ammonites. But they caused a lot of trouble for Israel. A lot of problems that Israel faced coming from the children of Lot and the children of his daughters. Compromise brings trouble. Much better to follow the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Much better to decide that you are his. You won't try to have the best of both worlds. But seek first the kingdom, then God will add everything else to you as well. But you've got to seek it first. Not seek it as well, not seek it alongside, and certainly not seek it afterwards, but seek it first. Then God will take care of all other things too. Christ gave everything for us on the cross, everything. And then he says we must do the same. We must stand ready to give everything. and then he'll take care of the rest.